Morning. Today is Thursday, the 5th of November. We still don't really know what's going on, but who better to lead us down that trail than Sheriff Billy?
Well, thank you, Brian. Dang, the narrow trail for sure.
Yeah, well, yes, but no compass.
Right. Yeah, we're waiting for that light.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So many ways.
For sure.
Oh. All righty, Winston, why don't you hit us with why do we say that, and then we can kind of start trying to figure things out.
Okay.
You got a hippie van on your cup?
Yes, I do. It's a VW van. That's, you know, my first car was a 1973 VW van.
Did it have the flower power all
it,
over
it? It was green and yellow, and the people that I went to school with and remember it well.
That would be like Humboldt State colors.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. Not a Grateful Dead van.
No. No, not at all.
All right, clear that one up. All right, Winston.
I've got brass hat or cat's paw. Whichever one you don't choose, Miles gets to do tomorrow.
Cat's paw.
Okay. Why is a dupe called a cat's paw?
Didn't know that it existed. No, absolutely no response.
No response.
It's referred to the ancient fable of the monkey who wanted to get some roasted chestnuts from the fire. To keep from being burned, he used the paw of a cat to pull them out. Pulling one's chestnuts from the fire refers to the same fable.
Okay, moving on.
That sounds like having a purchasing agent. Oh, boy. Any of the state propositions cause you any indigestion that passed?
You know, not essentially. You know, Prop 20 was the one that was going to kind of reestablish some of those crimes that were reduced to misdemeanors back to felonies and, you know, rape by intoxicants and those kind of things, and which I was very, very much in support of, but I believe that did not pass. Bail reform and getting rid of bail, bail system is thrown out, essentially, I believe, based upon that proposition, however that was voting. So it's going to go to a risk assessment model, and so realistically, here in Humboldt County, we already have a risk assessment model that we use with probation, with the court systems, and so it's just going to be more of a lift on probation. It's going to be another thing that probation has to do in order to allow people to, you know, get out of custody and that kind of thing. So
will you argue for a higher piece of the budget out of the general fund for probation?
Well, I think what's going to happen is the state courts are going to have to pay probation to provide these services to them, essentially, because they have to give a report to people.
Oh, you trust that to happen?
Well, shoot. Right now, they're already doing these pre-sentence reports for the court system. So when someone does get convicted of a crime in court, the judge will have an evaluation that the probation department provides to them. It basically shows, you know, their criminal history and factors in mitigation and those kind of things.
Okay, let me say it differently. If the probation department submits a bill to the state,
yes,
do you think they're going to get paid?
Oh gosh,
yes. Now we're
you never know. Yeah, yes, okay. You never know. I hope so, but yeah,
hey, that sounds like additional staff.
Yes, I would think so. Bigger government.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, 17-year-olds aren't going to be voting, so that's kind of a positive.
Yes, I think that's responsible of us.
I'm not really certain where that one came from, other than what my knee-jerk gut impression is. So
I'll
let that slide. Aren't you glad you're not the sheriff in Oregon, huh?
Well, it just
isn't that frightening.
It is so frightening because, you know, I just don't think people really get it. You know, when you're struggling with addiction, when you have friends and family that are struggling with addiction and are out there using heroin, you pray that they get picked up by law enforcement and put into jail because it's that moment of sobriety that they could make a good decision to get out of it. And I've known, you know, people, you know, working with Teen Challenge about their addiction issues, and they say over and over again, until they hit rock bottom, whatever that rock bottom is, where they get their kids taken away, they get put in jail, threatened to go to prison, that's when they seek help. Very, very, very rarely does someone say, you know what, I'm going to kick heroin today, you know what, because I feel like it's a good day. It's something that happens in their life. And so when we don't value human life enough to say, you know, this is wrong, it's going to kill you, and allow them to kill themselves, essentially, by staying addicted to this and don't give them an avenue to hit that rock bottom, I think it's just a terrible message that we send throughout our country. And then we're going to see more and more and more government programs established to help these people, you know, with their mental illness, with their health issues, with their addiction problems. And then it comes to law enforcement. When these people finally have to commit crimes because they've been using for days and days and days, and then they come to us and say, why did you have to do that? Why did you have to arrest this person? You know, because this person has been addicted to drugs and no one was going to get him off of it. And so the ramifications are, you know, that you know, we have to do it once they commit a violent crime.
Well, heroin is one thing. Cocaine is another thing. Okay. But then you've also got LSD.
Right.
And meth.
Right.
Huh?
Mind-altering drugs, absolutely. And unfortunately, we see it here in Humboldt County where we walk through some of these streets and we see normal life, you know, of people struggling with mental illness, addicted to drugs, and they're out of their mind. And we don't even see it anymore. We don't get those calls often enough. And so it's pretty tragic.
I mean, the entire state legalizing that?
So essentially, they didn't
beyond comprehension.
They didn't legalize it. They just basically said it's essentially a traffic ticket. So you have possession of a usable amount, and you get essentially an infraction ticket, and then you can pay a fine, $100, or you can go to traffic school, drug rehab, kind of a thing. So
oh yeah, not
yes,
wink,
huh? Right, absolutely. So it's just all it's going to do is law enforcement is just going to not deal with it. It's not worth it. No one's going to get a ticket for that. It's going to be prevalent. More people are going to die. More crime is going to occur. And then our hospitals are going to be overrun because these people will seek treatment in hospitals for various things. And then our mental illness will be going up.
This sounds like a dandy experiment.
I know. I just don't get it.
You know, I guess it could be worse. You could be the sheriff of Del Norte County.
Hey.
Have to deal with the folks coming across the state line.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. As you look at some of the different cultural shifts that are going on, whether it's at the ballot box / USPS,
yeah,
or bag,
right,
or you know, just some of the stuff that you're hearing on the street and seeing the ripples, is there anything that's a positive going on right now? I mean, it doesn't seem as if accountability is really, or responsibility, depending on what word you want, really is in that mindset for many of these determinations and many of the elected leaders.
Yeah. I want to think that some people are kind of waking up to what's happening around us and wanting to get more involved and get involved in city politics or county politics, state politics, and just pay attention to this kind of thing. I think people need to continue to do that and pay attention to, you know, these things going on locally and making sure that, you know, things that mean something to them, like public safety and protection and security of our, you know, of our community is utmost importance, and that they do, you know, voice that opinion to our local leaders. So
are the local leaders listening?
I can speak to the board. And I know that I do have an open dialogue with all the board members, and so they are listening to us. They are listening to the community. They do get the emails. They do refer them to me. And you know, we do talk about those.
Yeah.
We do talk about those. And so we do. you know, we are actively engaged in that, but I think that it is time for people to continue to do that and to voice their concerns about what matters most in our community.
As you look down the road with some of the budget pressures that are in play, mm-hmm. you've got the new holding facility.
Right.
I'm not going to call it anything more than that because, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as if that's going to be able to be enough to handle the job as it is. Better.
Right.
But not the job. Is it a funding issue?
It's a priority issue, Brian. It's like all across, I think, in our community as well as the state. The state has to get back to really what government was designed to do, right? And to do the basics and do the basics well first before we start expanding into these other new programs. So public safety and roads really are, you know, essential to government, and they should be a priority, you know, for the state and local, you know, leaders in the budgets. Fund those things first. Make those a priority. Make sure that there are full staffing options for all our law enforcement, because it really takes us to be out there. You know, we talk about our minimum staffing levels for the sheriff's office, where they have this large county, 4,000 square miles, and, you know, our minimum deployment is essentially, you know, 8 deputies and 2 sergeants for the entire county. And so when you think about from Orleans down to Garberville, you know, 8 deputies, that's it, you know, and all the space in between, you know, including McKinleyville, which is, again, the second, you know, third largest city in our county. You know, there's issues that come with that. We need more staffing out there to deal with the problems, be more attentive out there, to be proactive, and to try and help the community with some of those, you know, some of those community related issues.
Certainly there's efficiencies with having a central location.
Yes.
But maybe efficiency needs to be defined a little bit differently. You know, having, okay, let's say it's 2 cruisers that now are on 4th Street. Okay, for folks that are inside right. the building doing what folks inside the building do. But, you know, would it make more impact if those job functions and those vehicles were located, let's say, in the Garberville
yes.
location?
Yeah.
Or, you know, in McKinleyville or over right. over in the valley. I mean, just the job function is the same, but with all the internet stuff that
yes.
we have the ability to, you know, would that make more sense just to see more squad cars out in the hinterlands?
Yes, it is happening right now. My goal is actually, as far as for public safety purposes, is to actually get at least one patrol vehicle per every deputy sheriff that's assigned to the beat. So when they leave their house, they are on duty and they're going to their duty station. So if someone lives in Fortuna and they're scheduled to work in Garberville, that is their essentially their office. And so they have everything in their car now that they need. You know, they have a computer, they have a cell phone, they have all the data that they need on the computer, that they can run people, that they can do, you know, the report writing, everything that they need. So they don't have to go back to the office. And so that is what I believe is the future of law enforcement, to keep people out in the community, to make sure they're attentive, make sure that they're visible, and you know, not only to deter law, but be accessible to the community. So
now it wouldn't be a resident deputy. It would just be when you're driving to your beat.
Yes,
we see the colors, and we're not wasting that half hour.
That's right. That is already happening right now. So when people are you know assigned to the Willow Creek station, and so. There's resident deputies up there. There's also people assigned to vehicles. They're going and they're clearing from the residents and going right there. They're not going to McKinleyville station, not going to the main station here at the office. We have a satellite office in Willow Creek. We have a satellite office in Garberville. Obviously, we have a North Area Command in McKinleyville, and we have our main station here. So we have a deployment of people all over, and if they're assigned to that station, they have a vehicle, they're going right there. The only reason why they would go to McKinleyville or Eureka is to get a vehicle, and then once they're there, they're out.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a waste of everybody's time.
Yep, it is. And that's why I want to equip everyone with their own vehicle. And for emergency management, it just makes sense.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi. Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, the REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Billy, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, was it last week? Yeah, I guess it was last week. There was the emergency declaration for dispatch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, that's probably nothing that snuck up on anybody because I didn't hear about a fire or a bombing.
Right.
Okay, so it's just kind of a gradual slide down, and it finally crossed a threshold, or there was an incident, and they said, wah, and then it rose to the a front burner issue
for
the Supes?
It has been an issue for years, right? So our failing radio infrastructure here in the county, as you know, about radio towers and transmitters and how we communicate in this challenging geographic. We have 8 repeater sites, and so the lack of building these sites robustly, as well as maintaining the equipment at these mountain sites, has created a system that we have to now completely redo all these 8 repeater sites. And so in 2018, the Board of Supervisors approved a multi-million-dollar project to update these sites. And there were some things that were supposed to be already there at these sites that were working normally. And come to find out, as Motorola is putting in these things, the buildings are failing. The infrastructure there that was supposed to be solid isn't. And so it immediately put a stop order to all of the current work. And our system is failing. Our radios now are down in 2 areas of the county. And so people can't transmit. If you go out there and try to transmit an emergency, transmission, it will not go.
So you have a situation, unless your cell phone works.
That's right. Then we are blind. We are blind, deaf, and we can't get help to anyone.
Oh, you
can
throw in dumb, too. That's okay.
Okay, no, I will not.
I mean, you got that close, babe.
So we had to declare an emergency to get this project moving now, because we can't afford to wait even 6 weeks to delay this project.
But county funded, right?
It's county funded, yes.
So why the whoop-de-whoop? Why not just go down the hall and say, hey, guys,
because
I need it, and get all of them to say, okay, and it's off to the races.
There's purchasing policies and procedures that have to go into play. And if something is going to cost more than $50,000, then we have to put it out to bid. We have to do all these things that government, require for transparency and those kind of things. But in the case of this, it's an emergency situation where, lives could be at stake. We couldn't go through that process. We say we have to fix it now. We can't afford the 6 weeks, 8 weeks to get through any kind of bidding process.
Because then it's snowy anyway and you can't get out there.
Absolutely. So all those reasons, made it to where the Board of Supervisors could vote and could declare that emergency. And so we can get this bidding process done now and then and get the construction out there that we need.
So do you guys do the prefab buildings?
We do. We're doing 2 of the prefab, essentially, drag and drop buildings out right at some of these mountain sites, yes.
And then some form of a regular visitation?
That is the goal.
Put eyes on?
Yes, that's the goal. Once we do have this, It is not Office of Emergency Services. It's the County Information Technology working with Motorola and our radio techs with Motorola.
It's more of an IT.
Yes,
department issue.
IT runs the radio system. So because it's multi jurisdictional. It's not the sheriff's office. We have Public Works. We actually have way for the emergency medical services, fire services, those kind of things. And I think even schools have tapped into some of our repeater sites.
So who is tasked with putting eyes on? Obviously, nobody was.
Well, but who, we do have a person that's assigned from IT, county IT, that is supposed to be there and supposed to be the tech. It's supposed to be the person that's monitoring. So the new system that we have in place is going to be self-monitored kind of thing. So it's, if it goes down, they're going to give us a message saying, this is down. This is, you know,
kind of
it's
like
going to be fully digital.
The equivalent for us is silent sensor. Dandy, yeah. But that doesn't tie into the roof or the ants in the corner.
Right. So there's going to be regular inspections, and then the equipment that we have out there is going to be secured. It's going to be in a place that's going to be weather tight, and so it's going to protect all this multi-million dollar
weather, all weather protected inside the building that in theory is taken care of. Yeah.
Right. So that's our goal. So that's it's a multi-million dollar project, but we're going to be able to transmit from essentially Alder Point all the way to Orleans, and have everyone have countywide communication, which is very, very important.
Was the gear in trouble, or was it just the structure around the gear?
It is all of the above. So it was essentially the gear.
It's a gut.
So, yeah. So it was initially the gear where we're talking about, but then when we come into it, Motorola says, I can't put brand new gear into a structure that's failing. So that's where we had to come in and get this emergency.
Now, what's the condition of the towers?
Some of them are decent. Some of them need to be fixed and replaced. So... The full report is online. You can check it all out.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a way I want to go to sleep tonight. Now, is this going to serve as the first step towards the concept of a true consolidated dispatch?
So it could. So right now, we are still working on that. We're actually going to give a presentation to the Board of Supervisors on consolidated dispatch in a few weeks. And it's something that we want to work towards, at least have that opportunity. I think we're going to start with fire first because they do have a need to combine dispatch services and provide that service here locally and through the county fire. But we're going to start small and then expand from there.
I guess we can continue when we come back. Sure. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. It would seem to me that dispatch consolidation just makes made a ton of sense. And
yes.
I know, you know, everybody's got their own little power games that go on, and
right.
Some people say that they don't, but they do, and others say that they do, but they really don't care too much. They're just kind of protecting the home front, so to speak. Why not develop some kind of an agreement in this kind of a situation and just go, you know, it's time, boom, everybody has, you know, if you want to have a rep or however it is and
right.
however many of the staff that you're contributing funding for, have a little, I guess it would be a new division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knock your socks off, let's go. It's a little something off of everybody's plate, all the different law enforcement, public safety folks, other than the state guys.
Right.
And maybe turnover doesn't happen so much because you don't have burnout. You don't have as much overtime because of that. Everybody's talking the same way. Or
right.
You've got a much bigger mind or group think
right.
that could happen if you have a room of 12 instead of a room of 2.
Right.
Why not?
Yes. So everything you're talking about is totally legitimate, right? So consolidated dispatch is something that I believe will be happening sometime in the future here in Humboldt County. I think it's going to be something that happens all throughout the state. It is something that I think you're going to see more and more government services consolidating and saying, listen, we can offer the same services for less money and have redundancies in place that offer better services to the community. And that's my goal here. And so it's tough sometimes to get together with multi-jurisdictions to come up with a joint powers agreement or an agreement to move in a direction. I see the need is there, and I see that that we will continue to move forward for that. And I think that as the sheriff's office and the county, we'll prepare for a consolidated dispatch and see how we can integrate some of the people that want to get on board with this. And so because I think as budgets tighten, this just makes sense for us to do this service altogether.
You know, there are call centers in the private sector located all over the world.
True.
I would think you could have the equivalent of a call center in Humboldt County, anywhere in the county, and nobody's going to feel left out or that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Know? Or if, you know, somebody makes a stink, okay, great, locate it in their town. Who cares?
Right.
But it just seems like it would make a ton of sense, and everybody would win.
Yes, absolutely. So take a crime in Eureka that occurs, or in Cutton, and a burglary just occurred with a vehicle leaving a residence, you know, a suspicious vehicle. And if we had a joint dispatch center that can all work together, you know, we can all really be on the lookout for the same vehicle. We can all be out there, you know, essentially doing it, because as we know, crime is bleeding over jurisdictions all over the place.
Cars have wheels.
And then by the time someone gets on dispatch and actually calls us and tells us about it, it takes 3-4 minutes, and that car could be, again, 3-4 miles away at that point.
They're in Arcata.
Absolutely. And so it just makes sense. And then as far as staffing goes, when people call in sick or when people, we have to train people, it is absorbed all over. And the one benefit now that our county has as far as public safety goes, we're all in the same records management system now. And so we're all talking the same language.
And that was a huge thing
early on.
It was
a huge step for us to all consolidate. And so we share information back and forth with one another. So we have a great relationship with all of our public safety, you know, dispatchers and all the departments regarding this. It's just it will take some time to kind of maybe get used to, and then also find a location and that it works for, you know, that works for this.
Well, you're an elected. Justin is an elected. Is there anybody else that's an elected that would have a board? Or is it city council?
It's city managers. City managers as well as our board of supervisors that would, you know, that would have to steer funding or steer this direction.
Well, at least I know who my target is now.
There you go.
I'll report back next month.
There you go. Let me know how it works out.
All righty.
Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.